You're listening to the official podcast of Asbury University, produced by students with God-honoring conversations that inform, edify, and encourage. This is Asbury. We explore culture and current topics through a Christian worldview, promoting a well-balanced life, and we empower our community to belong, become, and be set apart. I'm your host, Abby Laub. Welcome to This is Asbury.
Welcome to This is Asbury. I'm Madison Wong, and I'm here with two very artistic individuals who work at Asbury. And we're doing this special episode because whether you like it or not, it's wedding season. The chapel bells are ringing. Ring by Spring has officially turned into Bridezilla May. April? I don't know. But Estes Chapel is filling up and we have people from Asbury getting married. So we thought, what's better than to do a little bit of marriage advice for creatives, non-creatives, anyone in the married world? Sean and Catherine Gaffney are with me today. They're wonderful professors at Asbury in the creative world. Sean is a screenwriting professor and Catherine is in the theater world with acting and directing. So hi, guys. Tell me a little bit about yourselves.
We're an artistic couple. We've been married for 28 years.
He says that with a question mark and looks at me. Yes, I think it's 28 and a half. Will it be 29 in the summer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we both started in the theater world and have been in the media world ever since. Theater, film, television, voiceover. I'm primarily a writer. Catherine is primarily an actress. Is that appropriate to say?
Yeah, totally.
So you guys, you said married 29 years coming up. So what actually got you together and what was kind of dating life like back? I'm not going to say
in
that.
The dark ages.
In the dark ages.
What kind of had you guys meet?
So from my side of it, I was living in New York City, working in the theater world. I was a theater producer. And at a certain point, the company that I was working for, we shut down. Oh. And so I was producing off Broadway, where the pay scale is you're buying the posters for the for the production if you're the producer. And I was working at a church as my kind of day job to get through. I had applied to be the managing director at a theater company in Seattle. That I had met the artistic director the year before, and they did not respond, which was hurting my pride a little bit because I was this hotshot New York kid. they should have responded right away, saying how excited they were.
Absolutely.
So I called the theater company just to find out, did they even get the resume? Maybe that's why I hadn't heard.
Yeah.
So I called, a woman answered, and I said, hey, can I speak with Scott? And he's like, he's not available. I said, this is Sean Gaffney. I applied. I just didn't know if you guys got the resume. Mm-hmm. And she said, Scott got the resume. He was dancing. So don't worry. He liked getting the resume.
Okay.
And I was like, okay. And I thought, while I have you, I have questions about Seattle. What is it like working there? What is the Taproot like, the theater company? So we talked, I don't know, maybe an hour. And I hung up the phone, and I immediately called a friend of mine. And I just said, I guess I'm going to have to move to Seattle so I can marry that girl. I was joking, but that's how Catherine and I met.
Good phone voice. Yeah. The beginning of my voiceover career.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had been working at Taproot for 5 years. And I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Okay.
And a year after graduating from San Francisco State, I went up to Taproot. I had auditioned for them to be part of their touring theater company. Mm-hmm. And I'm a split-brain creative. Now I know that I'm also ADHD. But then I just knew that I could be organized and creative at the same time.
Yes.
And so I had a job where I would do the accounts receivable in the summer and then act throughout the year. So I was working when he called and got to tell him all about the company. And then I sent him information, which had a picture of the current cast of a Christmas show that we were doing. And it was one where I tend to do character roles.
Mm-hmm.
And this was back, goodness, I was in my 20s and I was still doing character roles. And I was playing about 5 different characters. And I think all of their costumes were all layered on one. So I was a nice roly-poly girl in that picture. And that's who he thought he was talking to on the phone, because that's the picture he got.
Oh, my goodness.
Which is a metaphor, because she had all these different layers.
There it is.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
I thought I was joking, but I did. I got the job and moved out there.
Nice.
And
wow.
We both were working in the office together. In fact, by the time we got married, our desks faced each other.
No way.
Yeah.
So every day it'd be like, oh, goodbye, honey. I'm going to work. And then we'd walk across the street together, and then we'd stare at each other all day. But that was the start of it, was working together.
Gosh. And you guys have been working together ever since.
Yeah. I mean, off and on with jobs together. I think that was the only time we were that tight.
Yeah. And we've traded off who has the job with benefits, which I think is important artists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's really difficult for both of you to be pursuing creative dreams and not have a way to get your 50-year-old colonoscopy, and pay for it.
No, exactly.
Not that we're that old, of course.
So at a certain point, I would have the day job that had the benefits, and that freed her up to not have to worry about bringing in income, pursue the auditions, do acting jobs that don't pay, all those things you're doing to pay your dues.
Yeah.
And then we didn't have a clock on it per se.
No.
We knew like every 5 years we need to check in. We were pretty much checking every year, and as opportunities would shift, then we would shift, and then she would have the day job with benefits, and I would be able to write and take the free jobs or the jobs where you're getting, $50 for a script or whatever.
Being a temp on the lot.
Being a temp on the lot, which is, one of the things that became.
So I guess with the desk analogy, but also not the desk analogy, I know a lot of people think, oh, my gosh, you work with your spouse. That must be horrible. And then other people are like, yes, I want that life. What do you feel like are the downsides and the upsides to that life?
Yeah, both the answers you gave are correct.
it was glorious and horrifying.
Yeah, I mean, to see Sean and his giftedness is a dream. To see that for your spouse, it's wonderful. However, our particular jobs, him being the managing director, he was in charge of all of the accounts payable. Mm-hmm. I was in charge of donor relations, so I did all the accounts receivable. Mm-hmm. So if we went home and he was stressed about his quote-unquote job where he couldn't meet payroll, I then felt like, oh, I did not succeed in my job, quote-unquote, bringing enough money in so that he could pay people. Mm-hmm. So we actually, in our first year of marriage, had to introduce a rule. You can talk about that.
Yeah. So the rule was you could not talk about work at home without asking permission first. And if the person you were asking permission of said no, you had to accept that, no questions asked. They didn't have to justify it. They didn't have to say, well, I'm kind of tired or we'll talk about it later. It was just, hey, can I talk about work? No, we talk about something else.
Yeah.
So we had to make kind of a safe space for our marriage where work wasn't part of what we were talking about at home.
Yeah.
And it worked because it was very, very tense because I had no idea that she was taking it personally every time I would say something negative.
Like but
I
most felt like, spouses.
Yeah, I'm just unloading to my spouse and everything I'm saying. She's going, well, if I raised more money, he wouldn't be going through this. And vice versa, because I was in charge of the company. So she'd be like, oh, today was an awful day because of this or that. And I'm like, well, it's not my job to fix that, even though it was. So making that separation, just making sure that we had that safe space really turned things around.
Yeah.
It was pretty rough. But working together, too, it does come with so many joys.
I mean, she was
at that time in donor relations. So. Again, I fell in love with her over the phone. I'm getting to listen to her all day talking to donors. and her approach to that, Catherine is not the person to ask for money. So she's not calling people saying, hey, can you give money?
Yes.
Instead, she's calling people who had given money and saying things like, hey, Jerry, happy birthday. It's your birthday today, right? And getting to get an update on the kids and things and just kind of connecting with people. And, it's just so much fun to watch your spouse doing that sort of thing. Or watching her act. I mean, I never grow tired of watching her on stage or in front of the camera or in front of the microphone. any kind of, there are those moments because we get to work close together. You get those moments where you just stop and you think, how in the world did I ever get anybody who's that creative, that cool, that joyful? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it comes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. It's both. It's both. You just have to understand that it's both and
communicate.
Yeah.
Oh, we said that together.
That's really good, guys.
That's a good jinx.
That's awesome.
And it's hard in a partnership like that, too, to feel that monetarily.
Yes.
You know, Sean has the real job right now, whatever that is. And so he has a regular W-2 salary. I'm doing the 1099 work. And so there are days like, oh, am I doing my part? But I think if we qualify it that way, it's the scales are just not level because there's so much else that we do that even if we aren't the one pulling in the benefits or the full-time job, we often then are in the support mode, which the full-time person needs desperately.
Right. Yes.
It is that mindset of you have to take the money out of it. And I know that money for most marriages is one of the biggest issues within the marriage. And I think as Christians, we have had to realign ourselves over and over and over again about God did not put us here to make money. So to say that the money is the value piece, and it works, you're constantly working on yourself. I mean, you know this already because you haven't been married very long, but you already know you have to be working on yourself nonstop and readjusting your own attitude and realizing that you need to be affirming your partner within that. Because a lot of what I do, even in my biggest earning years, a lot of what I was doing, I wouldn't be able to have the space to do if Catherine wasn't taking care of the bills so I didn't have to think about them. You know, I brought in the money, she spent it, kind of a thing. making sure that our finances were okay, making sure that the household was running, and then helping me with things like my own marketing, helping me, like all of these things that you do to come alongside is part of the partnership. And you are no longer two. You're no longer individuals. You're no longer yourself, which is really hard to wrap your head around. But it's not possible for me to be making more money than Catherine because we're not two separate entities. We're one. So we make whatever the salary is. We make it, or whatever the losses are. They're kind of done together. And speaking of, you know, as a man, because I know that our culture tells us things about what the roles are supposed to be and the man's supposed to be the breadwinner, which, again, makes no sense if you're one, right? I'm sorry, but it makes no sense if you really were joined on that wedding day.
Yeah.
If you're one, that makes no sense. And for me, there are periods of time when I would be looking at Catherine and I'm watching her go to a 9-to-5, and I just spent a month working on a script that did not sell, right? Mm-hmm. So am I failing in that, in bringing my part to it and just having to realign, her having to say, no, this is why we're doing it this way. This is why I'm doing the 9-to-5, so you don't have to sell it. And the reverse for me constantly, reminding myself to remind her that, no, this is why we're doing it this way, so that you don't have to get the audition in order to feel like you're contributing.
Yeah, and right? Sometimes you have to go down to the very basics of it. You know, Catherine isn't doing the 9-to-5, so you can sell a major script that's going to be, you know, a box hit or whatever.
Right.
You know, she is doing this so you can focus on creative work, which it's hard to think that way, where it's like anything is valuable in that sense, in that journey of creativity.
And again, we talked about communication, but keeping those communication lines open, because bitterness can come in really quick because you get tired. I get tired of auditioning and not getting stuff. I get tired when I have booked something and I think I can never act again. Usually that's about 2 weeks before I open something. And to have that sounding board, I know we said when we worked in desks facing each other, we could say, oh, you know, let's not talk about work at home.
Yeah.
But being one creative unit, and we did actually form an LLC finally last year, way into our marriage, to be able to say, we work for this company, and how are you feeling? How are you doing with the workload, with what's happening?
Mm-hmm.
And be a sounding board for each other. And, you know, can we keep this up? What do we think is going on? I think it's important to check in with your partner. Yes.
Yeah.
And even when we were doing more of the alternating, mm-hmm. You know, now that I have the professor job, we're not thinking, oh, I'm going to just drop that at some point.
Yeah.
Because I'm allowed to be creative with it. I mean, that's one of the nice things about being here at Asbury is I don't have to stop being creative because of my 9-to-5 right now.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
But even when we were doing the switch off, just kind of being aware of understanding that I know that when she's got the 9-to-5, that that's a sacrifice because she's not acting full time, because she's temping at an office, or because she's running the box office at a school, or whatever it is that she's doing. So kind of that checking in of, well, how long can Catherine be in that job before it becomes a drudgery, before it becomes why am I watching him be creative when I don't get to, and being sensitive to that. So some of our conversations were, you know, just simply, all right, it's time. It's time for me to step into the day job, or it's time for her to step into the day job, just because, you know, for no other reason than if not, one of us is going to start to lose that artistic edge. Does that make sense?
And being open to God within that. Because when we both stepped away from Los Angeles, that was a sacrifice, but we knew that God was calling us to it. There really weren't a whole bunch of logical reasons, except we did have some people speak into our lives and say, you guys are staying where it's safe.
Yeah.
And we had to step out of that safe zone. Mm. And creatively, we both have exploded since then, which you wouldn't think. Oh, we're in the mecca of creative world in L.A. And when we stepped away, boom, 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 boom.
Wow.
But I think that was following God's call and checking in with each other.
And being willing. I mean, that's one thing that it took us a while to learn. My patron saint is Jonah. God says go, and I'm like, I'm going in the other direction because, God, I don't think you understand what you're asking me to do, including the move to Seattle. You know, is one of those, like, I'm in New York doing theater. I'm going to leave and do theater in Seattle.
Yeah.
I'm going to, you know, to a small company that, you know, at that time, their theater was in the basement of a church. I'm like, Lord, clearly that is not what you meant.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then brings me there, and I meet Catherine, right? So you can kind of, every single move that we've had, especially the ones in dragging our feet, or for me dragging my feet, it became very abundant. It's like, well, no, this is the land of milk and honey. Why did it take me so long to agree to go?
Yeah.
All the way up until this past move.
Uh-huh.
As Asbury, within 24 hours of hearing about it, we were like, God wants us to go. We're just going to go. And going blind, which is, you know, there's realizing that God is not necessarily going to tell you why he's asking you to do something.
Yeah.
And you have to trust it. Yeah, just you don't know what it's going to be. And sometimes it's going to be a lot harder than what you thought it was going to be. And sometimes it's going to be a lot more rewarding than you thought it was going to be. And ultimately, it's always worthwhile. But you got to trust that, even if it's going blind.
Yeah. In marriage, dealing with what you just said, because obviously as an individual, which you guys are an individual together, but as individual Sean and Catherine, it's very easy to say, I think God's calling me here, I'm going to go. How is it different in marriage where you have two perspectives of things, two possibly totally different God's call? How do you manage that?
First off, God is never going to call you in separate directions because you're one. That doesn't mean that what you want or what you want God to say or what you've decided God is saying because it's what you want, that can often be indifferent. I know that when we left Hollywood, one of the questions I got that made me the saddest is anytime somebody who was married would say, so how's Catherine feeling about the fact that you pulled her out of L.A. and took her? And it made me sad because the assumption behind it is that I made the decision and not we made the decision.
Mm-hmm.
We've never made any major move or decision that we weren't both on board for. So I feel a little differently, and even Catherine doesn't agree fully with me on this. You hear a lot of... So this is a theology that's a little bit different than what a lot of people have. And so I understand I might be creating a little controversy. But you hear a lot about, you need to have the male needs to be the head of the household, or somebody needs to be the head of the household. Typically, mm-hmm. we're a patriarchal society. We say, oh, the man is the head of the household. Mm-hmm. And one of the arguments given for that is because if there's ever a disagreement, you need a tiebreaker. And when I got married, I'm in all of our marriage counseling, and in virtually every Christian wedding I've been to, they've said that it's not just the two of you getting married. It's the two of you and God. Mm-hmm. It's the two of you and Christ. All three of you are getting married. And that is the partnership. It's not – because it's also – it'd be a real mistake for me to say I'm in – it's just me and Catherine's along for the ride, or Catherine's saying it's just me. Anytime you're saying it's just me and the other person's going to have to go – you know, it's not really part of it. But we're one, and we're one with Christ. Mm. If you buy that, and then somebody says, yes, but if there's disagreement, you need a tiebreaker. Any option of the tiebreaker out of the three of you being anyone other than Christ is a disaster.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? So logically, the tiebreaker needs to be God, right? That's just the obvious kind of a thing. It's not easier. It's a lot easier if we decide that one person is just going to make the decision.
Yeah, because then your tiebreaker could come up, you know, a year down the road eventually. Mm-hmm. You never know.
Yeah. And both supposed to be praying about the decision, and you're both mm-hmm. supposed to be hearing from God. And if one of you has decided that you get to decide what God said, it's just a dangerous kind of place to set yourself up for, I think. So we've made some pretty major moves. We've made some pretty scary moves. We've stepped out into, I have no idea if this is going to work business-wise, money-wise, if this is going to work artistically, if we're going to regret it in 6 months. We've had moves where one of us was instantly rewarded and the other one was absolutely not. And I don't think our marriage would survive those moves if one of us made the other one do it. Does that make
sense? Yeah, it does make sense. And for me, those big decisions are based on God's faithfulness in the past, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So us moving from Seattle to L.A. was very difficult for me. I'm a Northern Californian, and I mean that stress very deeply. I'm a Bay Area girl. So moving to L.A. felt like crossing lines in the Civil War, which I've learned more about since moving to Kentucky.
Yes.
So I wasn't going to do it. I told God, we will go anywhere, but I'm not going to L.A. And you do not tell God where you are not going to go.
Yeah, because then you will.
Uh-huh,
you
yeah. Will. So we ended up there, so rewarded. The people, the ministries, everything we got into was incredible. God was so faithful. So then when we moved to Virginia, which now I'm changing coasts, I'm sorry, and entering into a land of humidity.
Yes.
These are not good things. And it was very lonely for me for a while. Sean had a job up immediately. I did not. And yet, that's when I ended up going to grad school, which was not on my radar. Mm-hmm. And so even now, looking back, I think, okay, God, we went into this feeling like we're supposed to, even though there's a dread to it, if that makes sense. And then rewards end up coming. And I'm not talking monetary rewards, but those things that strengthen you from the inside.
Yes.
That you go, now I can trust a little bit more until the next time when I doubt again because I'm human.
Yeah. So pivoting a little bit, in the creative work you guys have made, have you used elements of your relationship and marriage in those creative works? Is there a separation of church and state, I guess, in that point?
Or? Sean has definitely used lines of dialogue. He's asked, luckily. He's like, is this okay that I put this in here? But lines of dialogue in things that he's written. And characters.
Character and character elements.
People using Post-its are usually based on me.
Ah.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you see the movie that we made, Not Your Romeo and Juliet, Catherine has a major role in that. And a lot of that character is based on our marriage. It's based on philosophies that we've shared. It's based on lines she said. It's based on her characteristics. So it's been fun. I've been able to do that a couple times because she's an actress, her breadth of character is a lot wider than most people. Mm. So So I'm able to, I can sometimes channel, like there's a sheriff character in my mystery movie that is not based on Catherine, but it's based on a character that I imagine Catherine playing.
Okay.
Right. So as I'm writing it, I'm not writing it going, oh, you know, just a general character. Let's build it up from scratch. I'm going, okay, what would Catherine do if she was playing this character?
Yeah.
Kind of a thing. So I'm able to use kind of that actress side of her in my writing. So probably mostly me taking, but you've done a little bit too.
Yeah. I most recently in fall of 18, I did. Sounds funny, but I did an Amish musical in Ohio and in Sugar Creek, Ohio. And I played a woman with dementia. And she has this gorgeous solo where she's asking her husband to come back in from the barn. Her husband has passed, but with her dementia, she does not know. And so, and yet part of her does, like deep inside, you get to that last verse and chorus, and you know that she's just trying to keep herself strong. And in those moments, I think, okay, Sean is like a rock for me and keeping me upright. And so character development wise, good actors use a magic if or an as if. I'm like, oh, if Sean was gone from me, but I needed him, his presence to tell me I am still valuable, that could be infused. And it made him cry when he saw it.
Every time. Every time.
If your love story were a screenplay or theater production, what would it be?
We've come up with a title.
No way.
Yes.
Oh, wait, is that the thing that you were Okay.
We're Still Laughing.
Okay.
That's the title.
Okay. And what would the little, like, byline be? Like, a little context for it.
It would be an adventure movie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It wouldn't be a rom-com.
Okay.
Because rom-coms end with the kiss or the marriage.
Yes.
So rom-coms end before the work begins.
Okay.
But it'd be an adventure story, and it'd be an adventure story of joy fueling through the hardships.
Mm. And stupid puns.
There'd be a lot of stupid puns. It definitely would be a comedy. would be a comedy. Absolutely would be a comedy.
A comedic adventure.
Yes. It'd be the kind of comedy where I don't know if you've lived long enough to attend a funeral.
Yes.
The best funerals are the ones that include laughter.
Mm-hmm.
Because that means that you're celebrating a life. So ours would be the kind of story where the scenes that nobody else should think are funny are actually funny.
That's
is that
beautiful.
Fair?
Yeah, very much so. I imagine us very much like the characters of Carl and Ellie before in the opening of Up.
Yes.
Like holding each other up when things aren't going well, being silly together, dreaming together. Mm-hmm. We've, you know, gone to Australia, and we've gone to Ireland, and we've gone to London, having adventures together like two little kids almost.
Yeah.
And then we won't talk about the sad part later.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but that is a lot of it, is because Ellie is such a great role model of what love is, because she brings out the best in Carl. She helps Carl find who he is that he never even dreamed he could be. Mm. And she considers life to be play. Like when he messes up and gets a handprint on the mailbox, her response is to slap her hand in paint and stick it right there with. And ultimately, you know, the thing that Carl misses, which is why it's an adventure, or why it's a journey movie, is she thought their marriage was a grand adventure. The day-to-day, the mowing the lawn, the washing the windows, that was a grand adventure. Mm. Not the, oh, let's wait and do something fun and interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But this is fun and interesting. Picking out your tie every day is fun and interesting.
Yeah.
Helping you, getting to work together. They got to work together, too. They're more like us than I thought. you know, getting to watch him have to figure out that his card is going to float away because it's tied to balloons, right? All of that to her was a grand adventure. And I think that's why that movie is so beautiful. That's why we as an audience are rooting for this grouchy old man who does nothing but be grouchy. You know, I mean, he yells at a dog. Come on. But we root for him because we see him through Ellie's eyes. And if you can have that in your marriage where you're seeing the other through Ellie's eyes, which we also call God's eyes.
Yes. Yeah.
Right? Ellie is a substitute for the Holy Spirit, even throughout the rest of the movie. She's a substitute for the Holy Spirit. If you can do that, then your movie is an adventure movie.
I also want to say that while there may be mistakes or goof-ups in the midst of the relationship in that particular Ellie Carl scenario, that they're willing to go with it and let's find humor in the midst of it or fail together. And I think that pre-marriage, I thought you get married, you do certain things, there's a perfection to it.
Yes.
And it is so not that. It is discovering each other, but also being delighted by life together. I think when we came up with We're Still Laughing, it was because we're not bored of each other after 29 years. And I thought I would run out of things to say. And yes, there's some of the same stories, you know, the onion dip hitting the curtains with his brother. I've heard it a billion times. But it's hilarious. And we still make each other laugh and surprise each other.
Yeah, the imperfections, you know, because all the things that you hide from the person you're dating either come out or they become infested.
Yeah, a lot of times I think the same thing. Mostly it's been that, but it's also been, I didn't know who you were 2 years ago.
Yes.
Correct.
And here we are living our lives together, and we'll be together the rest of our lives. It's not like a doomsday.
No.
Oh my goodness. But it's like a awe thing. Yeah. Like, oh, I'm in awe of this and how this happened and how God worked in our lives.
And you see the growth and expansion of those different things. I knew when we married Sean had a soft heart, but it still gets me every time he talks about Linus's blanket in the Christmas special. That choke it up-ness, and my heart melts now with it. With me, maybe that takes the soft-heartedness that was always there, and that's what expands it.
Yeah.
Is because I'm choked up too.
Yeah. Well. Thanks, guys, for all you had to say. I know that helped me as a newlywed, and I hope it helps the Asbury students who are about to get married. So are you going to any Asbury weddings?
We just went to an Asbury wedding over the holidays, and then we're going to our nephew's wedding coming up in May, which is very exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, dear Ring by Spring people, don't rush it.
Yes.
Yeah. Don't rush it. The problem with listening to like a podcast like this is like, oh, marriage is so great. I'm going to go out and get married, as opposed to there's a life partner out there for me, and let's find each other rather than
right?
And for those
and you know this having just gone through it, everybody seems to be preparing for a wedding, and that's a waste of your time.
Yes,
you're preparing for a marriage.
Yes.
So if you're trying to get married, you know don't try to get married. Try to find that person that you can have a marriage with.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Is that what you're going to say?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Wow.
We should have done it in unison. That would have been very impressive.
I know.
Well, thanks for being on the podcast. I've enjoyed interviewing you guys and talking about marriage and love and creativity. Everyone, thanks for listening. Enjoy This Is Asbury on any streaming platforms, and we'll see you again soon.
Well, thank you so much for joining us for this episode of This Is Asbury. To learn more about Asbury University, visit asbury.edu.